and Muslims and Christians, that they all admit that we are right. Right? They all admit that the Torah was given, the Mount Torah happened. They just add things on, right? They either add, Christians add a book on the end, the Muslims have an issue with the person they think was a prophet, but all three agree that the source is correct. No debate about that. No? Yes? Yes? There are two lines of thinking, really. Somebody asks you how you know the Torah is true, and that Hashem exists, and that He gave us Torah. There are actually two lines of thinking. One is that we met Him, the experience of Matan Torah, we met Him, and there's a whole discussion about how we trace that back, and the story that's been told of that then brought down to us. And the second is a philosophical inquiry about looking at the world and analyzing what the world is and whether it looks accidental, doesn't look accidental. These are long discussions, but the most important one is that we have a historical record of having that issue. Any other questions? Do you always sit this quiet?
No.
No?
I'm trying to slide you up. Okay. Bochum, I think that Rabbi Katz has already met you to a great extent. When I introduced the rabbi to the group that he met with before, I had said essentially that the rabbi is well known throughout the world. He needs no introduction. And that I make comments about the other students who were here. I think that Rabbi Katz, just by being in the presence of the boys, has a feeling already. And I could say very similar comments about these young men, as I said about the other group who was here, without embellishing.
Okay. Should we go ahead?
Right ahead, please.
I'm not sure what you'd like to talk about, but let me share with you something I hope will give you something to think about. So I happen to be a doctor, right? When I was brought up in South Africa, and I went to medical school at the same time as I was learning, and after that I spent a number of years in yeshiva. And one of the things that I have a special interest in is what are the halachas governing situations where you have life and death issues in medicine that need to be resolved. Let me give you an example and see if we can think it through together. How much time do you have?
Well, there is not much time for about 11 time, 11:10.
11:10.
11:10.
Do you want me to keep you late for the next class?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Let me share with you. Okay. Let me share with you the problem. Let's see if we can think it through together. One of the most difficult things that you can ever be asked to think about in medicine is where you have to consider killing somebody in order to save somebody else. Can you imagine a situation like that? Yes?
Yeah?
Like what?
Okay,
oh, excellent. Oh, beautiful. Let me tell you the situation I'm thinking of, and the things you said will apply. A few years ago, there was a Jewish family that gave birth to Siamese twins. Know what that is? Okay, twins that are fused, right, where their bodies are joined. Okay, you get all sorts of combinations. There are two ladies today in America who are joined by the tops of their heads. Their skulls are fused. They spend their whole life walking around joined to each other. They sleep in two beds head to head. They do everything together. There are two Russian ladies who have one body from the waist down and two bodies from the waist up. Okay? There are two people from the waist up and one body from the waist down. Can you imagine the problems that raises? First of all, they don't get on with each other.
Do you know them?
I don't know them personally, no. But I've seen scientific studies done on these two ladies. One of them, in fact, has become an alcoholic, and her sister gets drunk when she drinks, because their blood circulation is all one. Right? Okay. They, these two women. Imagine if a man would marry one of them. Can you see the problems? One of the problems would be: is he marrying two sisters? Okay. There's many issues. And each of these combinations raises its own issues. But let me tell you an amazing case that happened in the Jewish world. A few years ago, some years ago, in New Jersey, there were two little girls born who were fused, their bodies were joined. And when the doctors examined them, they realized that they had one liver, which was not really a problem. They could have cut it so that each twin would have enough liver, but they shared a heart. Okay, instead of being two hearts, there was only one large heart. Right? You know, do they study biology?
Yes, they do.
Okay, so you know that... You know that the human heart has got four parts, right? Four chambers, correct? Yeah, even in New Jersey. And therefore, there should have been eight parts to this heart, but there were only six. So there was no way that it could be cut. And it was more in the side of one of the twins. She was called Baby Girl B, in the press, and Baby Girl A was attached to her, and she did not have the heart in her chest. And the problem was that if nothing were done, both of them would die. The heart was not strong enough to beat and pump for both of them as they began to grow, and therefore they were both going to die. So they were taken to a hospital in Philadelphia, where the doctor turned out to be a very religious Christian man, Dr. Everett Koop. He became the Surgeon General of the United States. So you have here a Torah family, children. The doctor's a Protestant Christian. The hospital's a Catholic hospital. And the case was heard in the high court here in America as well. Amazing opportunity to see how these different systems look at the same problem. And Dr. Koop said to the family, look, if we do nothing, unfortunately both of these little children will die. Let me try to save one. And what he wanted to do was to separate them in such a way that Baby Girl A would die because she didn't have a heart, but she would at least save Baby Girl B. What do you think about that? Hard decision, huh? Rav Moshe Feinstein said it was the hardest life and death decision that they ever asked him to make. And they asked him to give a psak to say whether this kind of surgery was allowed or not. And what happened was this. First of all, why sacrifice Baby Girl A? I can think of much better options. Can you? Can you think of anything? Exactly. Beautiful. Why not transplant the heart into Baby Girl A and leave the rest of the heart in Baby Girl B? The reason this happened a number of years ago, and the skill and the knowledge of transplanting hearts, especially for babies, was not yet developed. So that was not a possibility. Any other possibility?
Cervic heart?
Yeah, artificial heart. Yes, absolutely. Excellent. Beautiful suggestion. Even today, that's not been adequately developed. Back then, it certainly wasn't. That wasn't an option. Another option is an animal heart, but we don't know how to do that yet. Animals transplanted, parts into human beings are rejected. So there was no other option. So the family went to Rav Moshe Feinstein, and they asked him if this kind of surgery would be allowed. And he had to go through many issues. One of the issues is, are these two little girls one person or two people? What would you say?
Two.
You see, if you... Yeah, okay, that's right. If you say that they're just one person, then you're not killing someone, you're just cutting off part of the person. Are you allowed to do that?
Yeah.
To save a life?
Yeah.
But if you say that they're two people, then you're talking about killing someone to save somebody else. That's much more difficult, right? Do you have to sacrifice part of your body to save someone else?
No.
I'll give you an example. About 600 years ago, there was a Jew who lived in Turkey, and the Muslim Sultan accused him of stealing. Do you know what the punishment is in Muslim law for a person who steals? So they said he had to have his hand chopped off. But he managed to escape, and he ran away to Egypt. So the Sultan in Turkey captured another Jew, put him in jail, and sent a message to the Jew in Egypt saying, if you don't come back, I'll kill him. If you come back, I'll free him and cut your hand off. So that Jew went to the Radbad, Rabbi David Ben Zimri, great Pesach in Egypt, to ask him, am I required to go back and lose my hand to save his life? Or am I allowed to stay here even though he will die? Amazing question, eh? So you look in the Radbad, you'll maybe ask your Rebbeim to look it up here. It's an amazing tshuva. He says that if he would go back and lose his hand, it would be a tremendous mitzvah, tremendous act of chesed, but he's not mechuyev, he's not obliged. He can if he wants to, but he doesn't have to. That's in terms of giving up part of a body to save a life. But here, if we say these two little girls are two people, then we're actually talking about killing somebody to save somebody else. Under what circumstances can you kill someone to save someone else? You all said beautifully, when someone's trying to kill someone and you can only save them by killing the person who's trying to kill them, right? You can do that. Really. Beautiful. When somebody... These are very good boys. You weren't kidding.
I was not kidding.
You weren't kidding. When somebody's trying to kill somebody else, that's called a roide. So if you're standing there, you can kill the roide. In fact, you should kill the roide in order to save the other person. By the way, what happens if you can just injure him instead of killing him? What should you do?
Yeah.
And for homework, what happens if you could injure him but you kill him?
Accident.
No, deliberately. Let's say you could...
You have to go to the line.
Good suggestion. And secondly, what happens if this person's trying to kill you, and you, instead of injuring them, you kill them? That's what? But you didn't have to kill them. You could have just shot him in the leg.
But
you didn't have to kill him. That's a very good suggestion. Okay, you have to think about this. These are good comments. But those are some tough questions. So you're allowed to kill the person who's trying to kill you. That's called a redef, right? Now, what happens when the redef is part of a group? Have you learned those halachas? Let's say you have to give up one person, otherwise everybody gets killed. Are you allowed to give up one person to be killed?
Yeah. Then how many people?
Good. Okay. So it's like this. No, it doesn't matter. If there's lots of people and you have to give up somebody to get killed, you're not allowed to do that. But what happens if the person is named? Do you understand? Let's say let's say the people who are trying to do this, they name a specific individual. That's called yichdu. They give a person's name. Can you then take the person that they want and give him to them to be killed?
No.
That's an interesting debate in the Yerushalmi. Okay? Some say only if he's chayav misa, that means he did something wrong, that gives him a death sentence. And some say, as long as he's named, that's already good enough to give the person up. So what Rav Moshe Feinstein said was this. If the surgery could be done in both directions, that means the doctors could choose which child they're going to save and which child they're going to sacrifice, then you'd not be allowed to do this operation. Yes.
What if the child wasn't named yet? Did you kill him this time?
That's exactly the point. So this is what he said. Said like this. Since the heart was in the chest of baby girl B, and Dr. Krupp said there's no way that he could do the operation to save baby girl A. The only one he could save was baby girl B. There's no way that he could reverse it. So baby girl A is already named. That means she's definitely the one who's the redef for baby girl B. Right? One of the young rabbis asked Rav Moshe, what happens if two people are coming down by parachute, and one man's parachute doesn't open, so he grabs his friend's leg. But now, because of his weight, the parachute begins to tear. Is the man with the parachute allowed to kick his friend off to a certain depth to save his own life?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, definitely. So maybe it'd be mean, but you'd be saving his life, right? Okay, no, you have to save your life first.
He may be,
but if you don't do that, you're both going to die. You have a mission to save yourself, right? What happens if two people are in the desert and one of them has a bottle of water? And if he shares the water with his friend, they both die. But if he drinks it all himself, he can get back home.
He keeps his water,
right?
He can go back home and then get people to come.
Well, even if he can't. So the question is the heart like the bottle of water?
Yeah.
Okay, so all these questions were raised, and Rav Moshe said in the end that surgery was allowed. And in fact, that's what happened, and they operated, and they saved baby girl B. But this is one of the most difficult questions that you can have, and there are many different versions. I'll give you an example. Can I just add one more?
Of course.
Second. In Israel in 1973, there was a group of Israeli soldiers who were being fired upon by another group of Israelis. Why?
Because
they didn't know who they were, right? Okay. So there was a group here being fired upon by a group over here. At a distance was a third group of Israelis who saw what was happening. And in that group were boys who knew the halacha. And they knew that if A is trying to kill B, and the only way you can save B is by killing A, that's what you have to do. So they wanted to start shooting at these guys to kill them, to stop them killing these. What would you say? Is that allowed?
Yeah.
No, they weren't in danger. They were no danger. They were at a distance. They had a terrible argument about it, and they did nothing. When they got back home, they went to see Rav Eliashiv, and he said there's no way that they'd be allowed to shoot. Because these people are doing what they're supposed to be doing under genuine situational mistake. That's not the kind of relief where
what
you can...
What ended up happening
is that people got hurt and killed in the first group, okay, because they never stopped it by killing the people in the second. That is a very strange and difficult example of... Yeah.
What did Rabbi Yossi say?
He said that these people were not allowed to shoot at those because the redef has to be where somebody's trying to kill somebody else under circumstances that he's trying to kill him. These people are doing what they're supposed to be doing in wartime under a problematic misidentification, which is not really their fault. They wouldn't be...
Later on, okay.
I don't mind telling you that. Okay, so I just want to give you an example of real life situations where halacha is a tool that is used to solve these problems. I, as a doctor, could never really function unless you know, we had a way of deciding these issues. It takes a lot of Torah knowledge to be able to make decisions, obviously, these life and death issues. But whichever field of life you go into, there's no field of life that you can really cope with unless you have a Torah background, you have a Torah knowledge, right? In everybody's life, there are one way or another life and death decisions, things that affect people's future in a very deep way, and therefore the basis for all of life really is Torah. And we wish you a good chance.